Amen. Pray we can always do our best for Jesus and simply follow him. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 tonight. Genesis chapter 1. While you're finding your place there, allow me to make a couple of announcements. Just want to remind everybody that on Sunday mornings and on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights, 30 minutes before our scheduled start time, we meet back in the chapel for a time of prayer. And that's for everybody to come and take part in. God answers prayer. But he can't answer if we don't ask. And so we need to be faithful to come together and pray together. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of those prayer services. Have an opportunity to help a brother out this week on Friday. I know a lot of you have to work, but anybody who's not at work on Friday, about 10 o'clock in the morning, Brother Dennis is packing up. He's going to be moving to Thailand. And so please pray for him in this move. And if any of you guys are able to come and help us load his stuff up, he's going to put it in his storage. So if you can come and help with that Friday, just let me know. And we'll try to help him out a little bit this Friday. All right. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And let's pray, and then we'll read our text together. Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity to come. We're thankful for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that through your word, you would help all of us to know you more. Lord, help us to know you and to make you known. Lord, I pray that everything you teach us from your word about yourself, you would give us opportunity, help us to seek out opportunity to share those great truths and your love with others. Lord, help us to be the church in this world, to represent your kingdom and to bring others to Christ. And Lord, help us to stand for the truth, even when it's difficult, and help us to always speak the truth in love. And Lord, please bless our time in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In these studies that we've been going through on Wednesday nights in Avoiding Confusion, we've been drawing the distinction, looking at the differences between two different kinds of a worldview, the secular worldview and a biblical worldview. And depending on how you look at things in the world will have an impact on your opinions on all kinds of subjects in the world that we deal with today, from the sanctity of life to the existence of God to how everything came to exist. All of those things are impacted by the way we look at things. As followers of Jesus, our worldview must be based on his word. Amen. We've got to look at things according to what the Bible says. And tonight we're going to begin a lesson that's focused on God's original design concerning male and female and concerning marriage. Now, the truths that we're going to look at in our study tonight are foreign. And just to be frank, they're offensive to what's going on in culture today. What the Bible has to say about gender, what the Bible has to say about marriage are offensive to a lot of people in the world today, but they're essential to our lives, and they're essential to for us to understand biblically so that we can help other people experience God's design for their lives. Now, before we get into really the meat of the lesson tonight, I just want to get a few things out of the way that are really important for all of us to understand. And so maybe somebody listening to this in this room, or maybe somebody watching online, there may be things said here tonight that might be hard for you to take. But before I say all those things, I want to make sure we get this basis right here. God loves everyone. Even people who disagree with the Bible, even people who deny his existence, even those who hate him, God still loves them. Amen. Second, as followers of Jesus, we are supposed to love everyone. Amen. Even people who might be struggling with some of the things we're going to talk about in this lesson. Even some people who might have questions about things in this lesson. Now, I don't know whether it was real or just perceived, but when I was coming up in church, and even my experience as a pastor sometimes around other people in the church and other churches has been that it's not okay to ask questions. That you can't come and you can't question, you can't ask anything. And I want you to understand tonight that it is okay to ask questions. Listen, if you don't ask questions, that would indicate that you already know everything. And let's just face it, none of us know everything. And there's been a lot of times I've been in classes when people might have some questions, might be struggling with some things, and maybe they were not received well, and maybe they weren't even treated very well because they had questions. Listen, God expects us to have questions. And I think it's foolish for us to come and pretend like we've got all the answers. And so as followers of Jesus, as a church, we need to be really careful that we treat people who are struggling and questioning with love and with respect. And I know some things that we talk about sometimes. We've thought it. Some have even said it. I just can't understand how people could deal with that. I don't understand how somebody could struggle with that. Well, you know what? Somebody else can't understand why you struggle with the things you struggle with. Yeah. So we need to have love and mutual respect. Because what the Bible says about these topics is the truth, believing it and teaching it is not promoting hate and hurt, but it is promoting help and healing. A lot of things that we look at in Scripture, the world says that's mean, that's hateful, that's hurtful, and they would turn things upside down. They would call that which is evil good, and that which is good they would call evil, and they would flip it upside down. But listen, speaking the truth of the Word of God is not hateful, is not hurtful, it's helpful, and it gives hope and healing. Albert Mohler said, "The Church of Jesus Christ faces an unprecedented challenge. The collision between it and a new sexual ethic, a collision between revelation and revolution. The revolution is a sexual one, and it is indeed a revolution demanding a complete reordering of society and civilization." I want to approach these topics with love and mutual respect and understanding and all those things, but just because we love and just because we respect and just because we want to have a right attitude doesn't mean that we back up from the truth. Amen. And it doesn't mean that we don't uphold the truth. We speak the truth. We do it in love, but we still speak the truth. And many times the truth is offensive to people. For some people, the rejection of God's plan and God's design began through deep hurt early in their life. A lot of times the types of issues we're talking about tonight started with abuse. With when somebody was a child, or early exposure to pornography. It was cultivated through confusion when maybe a good biblical role model wasn't present. Maybe there wasn't a dad who loved Jesus in the home, or a parent who was leading in the right way, and it opened the floodgates for a lot of confusion to come in. Children without the right kind of role models and training from parents are really set up for confusion. They're really set up to follow whatever the most dominant influence in their life is. And unfortunately, in America today, some of the most dominant influences in our children's lives are what they can see on social media, on TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube videos, their favorite movies, video games. They're influenced more by digital influences than they are by actual human beings in their home that love them and are leading him in the right way. Now, if that doesn't break your heart tonight, then there's something wrong with your heart. We see the evidence. A couple of years ago, it was big news. Netflix had a documentary called Cuties. If you didn't hear about that, you've good for you. If you did hear about that, if you read about that, if you know about that, it's disgusting. And not only is it it's acceptable in society, but it's promoted in society. 2019, the National Assembly in France removed the terms mother and father from forms in their schools in France. They now use the titles Parent 1 and Parent 2. When God speaks of male and female in the first chapter in the Bible, he's showing us his clear design for two distinct genders. Throughout the Bible, God forbids those two roles to be blurred, much less swapped. Over the past decades, we've seen a huge shift in our society and our culture to make all types of confusion normal and acceptable. It really begins with an attack on morality. And I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles now to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When you start to read Romans chapter 1, it comes to a place of transition. It begins to describe those who reject God, who don't like to retain God in their knowledge, who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. And it shows us the beginning of a downward spiral. As they reject God, there begins to be this downward spiral as they go farther and farther away from God, further and further into darkness. It begins when people forsake God. When man forsakes the God who created him, he will inevitably turn to idols of another sort. When man rejects God, they embrace those idols. He rejects the idea of God. He despises any involvement of God in his life. And when man does that, when he turns away from God, he becomes empty in his imagination. Their foolish heart is darkened, and they will begin to worship the creature more than the creator. Romans 1 and verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made unto like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so man moves away from a worship of God, denies God, and he begins to worship the creator, the creature more than the creator. Really, man makes his own self God. When you reject God and you reject the Bible, you make yourself a God, you create your own gods in your mind, then human philosophy, science, man's thoughts become dominant in their life instead of the truth, the word of God. And when you do that, the next step is to move from forsaking God, worshiping creation, to following your own lust. There's a direct connection between mankind's attitude toward God and his or her personal identity. Listen, if there is no fear of God, belief in God, or presence of God in somebody's life, then there is no moral restraint. When you abandon God, you make yourself a God, then you lose all moral restraint and you follow your lusts. We can see it clearly in our society today. Pornography, the movie industry, bombard our society with an enticement to lust. And what we see today is a repetition about what we read about in Scripture. There, verse 24 again, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. They surrender to their lust. God gives them up to those lusts. They surrender to them. Verse 24, that phrase, gave them up, is a Greek word, paradidomai, which it means to give into the hands of. In other words, God gives people over to the bondage of the lifestyle that they've chosen. Amen. So here's what happens. People don't like God. God's trying to put them in a box and trying to keep them from doing the things they want to. And really what God's trying to do is to protect you from the harm of sin. But when you reject God and you say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do, then God will allow you to do that. He'll say, fine, if that's what you want to do, then he'll give you over to that, and you'll become enslaved to the very thing you thought would set you free. And you're surrendered. God convicts and warns people, but God gives us free will. And when people continually reject God, he eventually will leave you to your own devices and the consequences of your choices. We give in to the lust of the flesh and fornication takes over. Fornication is the Greek word pornei. It's, you can hear pornography in that. The Greek word for fornication refers to any deviant sexual behavior. That means any kind of sexual relationship outside of marriage, homosexuality, bestiality, the kinds of things they were dealing with in Corinth with their pagan worship. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And so down at verse 26 in our, there in Romans 1, 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And so we live in a world that continually promotes lifestyles that are contrary to the word of God. And here's the reality. The reality is that anything that goes against Scripture is going to bring harm to your life. And everything in the world tells us that these things are okay and they're well and right. And here's the problem. Too many people in Christians today are more influenced by society and what's culturally acceptable than they are what's said in the Bible. And whether we agree with it, whether we like it, whether it seems right or feels right to us, we have to be people who submit ourselves to the authority of the Word of God. Whether it's a sin you struggle with or it's a sin you don't struggle with, God's Word has to be the authority. But the reality is, the reality is, if you'll open your eyes and look around, you can see the difference in the lives of those who are following biblical principles and those who reject biblical principles and the effect that it has on their hearts and their minds and their lives. In 2019, the Washington Post published an article by Nathaniel Frank about the intentions of gay rights activists in America. Claiming that these activists always intend to push for marriage as a goal, Frank said this: "These activists didn't just want to create alternative communities for queer people. They aimed to remake society around the novel social arrangements they cherished, addressing human need and desire through broad community structures rather than monogamous nuclear families." You see, there's always an agenda, and it's bigger than what you think. And Satan has always tried to destroy the home that God designed, where there's a dad and a mom who love each other and love their children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And everything in our society is against that. Everything in our society is against that. Regardless of how common or accepted these anti-biblical lifestyles become, they're destructive to the people who live those lives. And Christians are not more loving by refusing to call it sin. We're loving when we call sin, sin. But we share the love and redemption of Christ with everyone. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's exactly what we see in the world today. But may God help us to be people who love everyone. And can I also say, we have to be real careful to make sure that we don't have any beams in our eye as we try to help people with the motes in theirs. The reality is we're all sinners. And we all desperately need the redemption that only Christ can give. Let's stand together. We're going to dismiss to our small groups tonight. If you'd like to give to the youth fund, there's a